Lime, duh. Yeah. Wow. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host, with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling. Check it out, adultwrestlingfan.com. Dead Black, a.k.a. Dunsky Blackamora.
Shuts your hole!
Hey, come on, a.k.a. Donnie Capri from that time I went to Italy.
I have been here for 12 years!
Seems like you're a little stupid, but you're actually really stupid.
a.k.a. the modern day goof, Raja.
Can you smell what the Rossi is kicking?
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby,
gubba,
this girl, she's mine, and she's what up, Jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. Woo. And hey, before I introduce the room, you know how we do. It wouldn't be in a podcast without it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like one thing. Oh, what flavor is that?
What flavor
lime.
Is that?
Oh. Duh.
Being prepared for a night she'll never forget.
Mm. To my front, you know him, you love him, the nasty one, Nasty Noman.
How about it?
Oh, yeah, and the first lady in Stoody. Well, that's staying. Yep. The first lady in Stoody.
I've been staying over Stoody.
Aaron Finnerty, what up? Yo, okay, so look, before we get into all of it, I got a bunch of announcements for things coming up on the pod, okay? First thing, if you want to support this pod, you know where to go, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling, all right? We give you bonus episodes every week for a couple dollars, but it's the best way to support the show. Now, our bonus episode this week will not be coming out Friday morning. Our bonus episode will be coming out, I think, late Sunday night, early Monday morning. I'll be recording it live in Long Island.
Oh, wow.
New York post Survivor Series with Mr. Nick Tulo, Supermarket.
I wish I could say I was excited for that, but we'll see what happens.
Wow, someone's got a bad attitude. No. Anyway, bad attitude on full display. Look, okay, here's the deal. A lot of people have been clamoring for the One of My Guys t-shirt. So the design is made, the t-shirt is
what?
A shirt. The design is made by the official Comedians of Wrestling artist, Lauren Moran.
Wow. I'm wearing her this evening.
The official artist of the world, really.
Aaron, who are you? Why don't you describe what you're...
I'm wearing official Bobo Lauren Moran, purchased not from her directly, but with her blessing. It's a black crew neck sweatshirt with the bloody face Becky Lynch image.
Yeah, made by the beautiful design by the beautiful Lauren Moran.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
She is beautiful.
You dug yourself back into.
We love you, Lauren. She's a beautiful woman.
It's a show. It's a beautiful show. It's one of the top shows. People love what I say. They love it.
Okay.
Anyway, but the we one of my her. Guys, here's the deal with the shirt, okay? We are doing a very limited run.
How limited?
Of this shirt. How limited?
This is like QVC.
Yeah.
We only got a couple of these to sell.
We only got a couple of these shirts.
Be dialing.
The One of My Guys shirt, the design is posted right now on our social media. On at COW Podcast. And it'll be on our Instagram. Also be in the Comedians Wrestling Facebook page. You can check out the shirt. It's fucking dope. You're going to love it. If you want to get this shirt, here's what we're doing. Okay? We got Black Friday coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes. Next Friday is Black Friday.
It's Black Friday.
Dan so Black Friday.
The Dan Black Friday. Okay, so we're going to do the Patreon Black Friday special.
Oh,
okay?
Nice.
The Dan Black... The Patreon Dan Black Friday...
Doorbuster.
The Doorbuster special. Okay? Which is... These shirts... it's going to be an exclusive run of these. If you're a patron, okay, at the $5 level. Okay, mm-hmm. It's only a couple bucks.
Yeah.
But my coffees cost $5, right?
All right.
Okay, I don't know, too much. Hard pitch. Hard pitch. Listen, whatever. I'm doing my best. If you sign up before November 29th, mm-hmm. which is what day is that, Aaron?
November 29th is that's Black Friday.
That is Black Friday, yeah. Right? So if you sign up before Black Friday.
By Thanksgiving.
You must be signed up by midnight on the 29th,
right?
Because when Dan runs that list, those are the folks who are eligible,
right? And the thing is that you'll be eligible to buy the One of My Guys shirt. But those shirts, if you're a patron, will come with an exclusive 8.5 by 11 Lauren Moran print.
Wow, holy shit!
Okay,
wow,
that's a hot item.
Yeah, I mean, huge.
It's worth it alone.
Okay, and that's the same price the shirt will cost. You know, mm-hmm. after which we'll get into. And also we'll have, and for the amount we have, there's a limited run, the limited edition. Also, you'll get the Cowmania t-shirt as well if we have it in your size. So do it sooner, the better. Okay?
Yeah, get the Dan Black Friday Patreon exclusive doorbuster deal starting on Black Friday. And then how long do we have to secure that deal?
Okay,
tell
so
him, Dan.
Right, you could secure that deal. Wait, we have to do it from from 11:29 to 12:01.
Till
you tell me.
Yeah, it goes.
Aaron has the details.
Here's the details. So Black Friday special, you can get it. You can place your order for it starting on Black Friday if you're a patron at the $5 tier or more, and you have through the Sunday of that weekend, which is December 1st, to lock in that doorbuster special. After December 1st, starting on Monday, December 2nd, the sale will be opened up to the public. Anyone who wants to order it can also order the shirt. You will not receive the Doorbuster special, but you'll still get
the One of My Guys
shirt. The exclusive One of My Guys shirt, so it's a limited run.
So you're telling me that I got to sign up before
Black Friday.
Yeah.
At the $5 or higher level.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, Alex.
And I will get exclusive access to purchase the shirt and also get a Lauren Moran print.
And the Cowmania shirt.
And the Cowmania
shirt. Also designed by Lauren Moran.
Also designed by Lauren Moran.
And if I wait.
If you wait.
I can still get the One of My Guys shirts.
Yes.
But no print.
And the same price.
At the same price.
$30, including, I believe, check me if I'm wrong, shipping and handling.
We'll see.
That's a bundle. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how far you live to get that free shipping.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Barring anything, that's what it would be. So, and you could buy the shirt till, basically, if you want to get the shirt, you have till December 6th, right?
Yeah.
So that's essentially what you need to know.
Right.
So you want to get the shirt, you have till December 6th. If you want the deal, it'll be a Patreon. Plus, the main thing to know is... all the money from these shirts are going to go back into the podcast. I have tons of things planned for the show going into the new year. Anosh can attest to it. We've been talking a lot about stuff that's going to be, we're going to be implementing in 2020. So there's not a single dollar of it that will not go back into the show. So if you like the show, you're basically investing in the show.
Yeah.
Plus you're getting a t-shirt. And if you're a patron, you're getting two t-shirts.
Getting a bundle.
Okay. So what, Aaron, how do they buy the shirt? What are they going
to
do?
Well, Dan, to buy the shirt, I think you're going to have to involve the supermarket, Nick Tula, who will be taking our pre-orders. And basically how it works is patron, non-patron, during the time period that you're buying it, you'll place your pre-order with Nick. Then these shirts are so exclusive, we're ordering them on demand. So these, right. there will be no extra for you to buy later when you change your mind.
We're just doing a run.
It's a Black Friday deal, and that's it, folks. So
all the details will be on the Facebook page.
All the details.
And on the cow. And if you want to message out to us, we have the email.
Yeah. And then you'll have your shirt by the end of the
And
by
tell
Christmas
your
or
friends,
holidays.
You know, sign up. For yeah. Patreon.
So this is a great way to support the podcast. All the details will be on the Facebook page, Comedians yep. Resident Facebook page. And
this
all
is
of
a
it
big
will,
announcement, though.
Absolutely.
The shirt's in demand.
And,
so.
And if you want to see the shirt, it's fire. And here's the big announcement. It's not black. The shirt is not black. Okay.
I didn't even know that.
It is not
what
black.
Color is it? Don't say it out loud.
No, we're going to see. You'll have to see. You'll have to see.
Point to something in the room that's the color of the shirt.
No, the shirt is a dark blue. It's okay. That's not a secret. It's a dark blue. Okay, but it's not black. It is not black. All right. Anyway, also, yeah, so you can just message, you can DM the Instagram
us, yeah.
and just message any of us. You can message me directly on Facebook as well and get that. Anyway,
if
all the funds go back
in. You
can't
figure out how to order a t-shirt, though. You got to get it together. You know what I'm saying? Hit
yeah,
the
I mean, listen. Yeah, I mean, look. Don't
what do
be
we
got to
do? Hold
yeah.
your fucking hand.
Your next stop.
The Jabroni Show. If you struggle with this, we might send you, instead of a lump of coal, you'll get the Jabroni Show t-shirt. <Yeah. laughs> okay. So, okay. Here's the next thing. All right? Here's the deal.
Yeah.
We have another big major announcement. And this is kind of what we do here. The end of the year, we fucking hit you.
No, I know.
It's what we do. We hit you. We have
strike
you. Literally hit you.
We have the second ever annual wow. Cow 9 to 5 episode.
Oh, damn. I cannot wait.
The Cow 9 to 5, 8-hour full workday episode,
we're
right?
We're doing vocal warm ups yeah. already.
Talking now, 8 hours wrestling?
Absolutely.
Easy.
It's easy.
I'll walk in the park.
And look, I'll tell you what happened last year. It went 9 hours.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. To get ready for that, the 9 to 5 episode, and I'll announce the cast of it and at a future date. But people, let's just say, people are flying in.
You're
okay?
going to love it.
You're going to love it.
And many important people. Many, many important people.
Many, some of the top guys. These guys are killers. These guys are killers. that's an underused one. All right. But the 9 to 5 episode, the 8-hour episode for patrons, okay? Mm-hmm. Will drop on Christmas Day.
Holy shit.
Okay, so Christmas Day.
That's a Christmas present.
You get a full 8-hour episode. So, you know, your uncle, he's spouting off his political beliefs that no one wants. They're not even Republican or Democrat. Yeah. He's not even pro-Trump. He's pro-something else.
Yeah.
Who's got time for something else right now?
What, do I need a license to operate my own damn toaster?
Yeah, absolutely. Who are you talking to, guy? you can go lock yourself under the cupboard like Harry Potter, right? Like
yeah.
under the cupboard. That's where I recommend. If you're at
lock
home,
lock yourself into it.
Lock yourself in the cupboard under the stairs and you listen to 9 hours of the cow pod, okay?
It'll be the 26th before you know it.
Absolutely. So that'll come out for patrons. So look, if you're listening to the show and you've listened to the show all year, and a lot of you have, and most of you are not patrons of the show, yeah, you get benefits from us. We put a lot of work into it and it goes back into the show, okay? So, yeah, patreon.com/comedianswrestling, Christmas Day. Now, to lead up to the 9 to 5, and because it's the holiday spirit, every Monday leading up till the new 9 to 5, we're going to be putting out 2-hour chunks from last year's 9 to 5 on the main feed. Okay?
So that's starting
Dan is
December
looking at me
2nd.
And also instructing. He's announcing and instructing at
this
the same time.
This is an announcement in studio. Yeah.
Many
well.
Of these announcements are so exclusive. We are learning about them for the first time.
In real time, folks.
That's what happens.
The 8-hour episode is... Go ahead.
That's right, baby. Yeah, so that'll be it, and leading up to that. And then, yeah, and then we'll talk more about how you could hear the 9 to 5 episode if you're not a patron, but... The best thing to do is you're going to be having time at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Right?
We have cash at the end of the year, too.
That's
cash.
It. And we're talking about a couple of dollars. So thank you. If you're listening to the show, consider giving back to it.
It's an episode so long that SoundCloud rejected it.
Yeah.
They said, this is too long.
It's too much.
Bring us back with something. Come back with something else. We won't accept this. It literally
man.
Said that.
Anyway. All right. So that's all of our announcements. Are you guys ready? I mean, are you ready to talk wrestling? I mean, that could be an episode. This is, that was major stuff.
That's the episode, folks.
I mean, folks, that was
keep watching wrestling.
wild stuff. Wow. Yeah. Weird. All right, Aaron, you want to ring the bell?
I always want to ring the bell.
Yeah. Okay, that's not a sound effect. That's the official cowbell, baby, and I got to have more of it.
You just tighten a screw? Was there a screw loose on it?
On this, yeah.
Anosh, we don't need any more announcements. Okay, so...
The screw has been tightened. Final announcement.
Yeah. All right, so look. Again, we record this episode after I watched AEW and NXT just now. We record, we come in hot right after that. And it's crazy. Every week we come in here and I'm like, oh, Raw and SmackDown, those happened. And I did watch them. I did watch them. But when you come off the Wednesday night, Wednesday night is like the it's like the Men in Black wand for Raw and SmackDown. Yeah. Luckily, I take notes. It comes back to me. But I do want to make sure that what we give Raw and SmackDown a little bit of the due for the very few things that they're doing that people do people do care about. So I want to say one thing about Raw. I want to say the move of the week, okay, was not on AEW for me. The move of the week was not on NXT, okay? The move of the week was on Raw. We had, what's his name, Tozawa? What's his first name? I'm blanking. Akira Tozawa. Versus Buddy Murphy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
These guys had a killer move. Okay. Yeah. Buddy Murphy standing outside the ring. By the way, I have Buddy Murphy's haircut right now. We have the same haircut.
He has the Dan Black.
He has the Dan Black haircut.
Yeah.
Not the Dan Black physique. Lucky for him. This guy is jacked. Yo, Buddy Murphy's jacked.
Jacked up. Yeah.
Jacked. There's a couple guys.
He's built like an action figure.
Yeah. He looks real good.
Like a He-Man.
Yeah. So he stands outside the ring. Tozawa baseball suicide dives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Buddy Murphy catches Tozawa in a suplex position.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like already, you've seen this?
Yeah.
You saw it, right? Yeah. Like, and Tozawa's feet don't hit the ground.
Yeah.
It goes right into a suplex. I don't think I've ever seen that. The guy you're catching has to be so much lighter than you to pull that off.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of, like, these guys being such genetic freaks, like, they can, these days. Like, and that's why I think not to skip too much.
Dude,
like,
come on, it's all we do.
Moxley versus Darby Allin, like, those kinds of matches are cool because, like, one guy's so much bigger, there's so much more control and cool shit he can do.
Right, absolutely. Right. That's one of the beauties of wrestling, and actually, CM Punk, who will be the next thing we talk about, obviously, he mentioned, he was like, when he was talking about, what match was he talking about? Rey Mysterio versus Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. He made the point, he's like, that's a story you can only tell in pro wrestling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was an incredible point by CM Punk.
Good insight.
So that's all I have to say about Raw and SmackDown this week.
Match Tozawa, Murphy, crushed.
Move of the week. Time to move on to CM Punk. No, a couple things will pop up, but we got to move on to CM Punk.
Yeah.
Obviously. Let's not bury the lead. CM Punk is back. We talked about it last week. He was on Backstage. I was I felt a little underwhelmed by his comeback, obviously.
Right.
Like, for not to mention, one thing people don't mention about his comeback is that it was lit like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so dark. It like wasn't.
Yeah. And
no
also,
planning with the lens.
No, like he went to the lens, which is like they light the studio. It's like in LA, it's a studio, you know. You're like, they light it for people to stand in that ring. He went through the ropes because he's like an actual wrestler who's go through the ropes is cool, and he goes right up to the lens.
Yeah.
He claimed that he's gonna change the culture. That will decide by the end of this podcast. Did he change the culture yet?
I don't even know what the culture is.
Do it for the culture.
I don't know.
It being changed.
Yeah, I don't know. He changed the culture.
You'll know when you see it.
Yeah.
We're talking about yogurt?
Every time I try to think of what that quote is, the culture.
Change
I'm
the
like,
culture.
Just when you thought I was out, they pulled me back in. That's what I think it was. But, so I was like, he's getting me a backstage. And, you know, my initial instinct is just like everyone else, which is that, like, I wanted to hear that cult of personality pop, you know, at a major event. So then I was like, you know, whatever. He's going to be a backstage. It's like, oh, all right. He's going to be on like a show that no one's going to watch. It's 11 p.m. on FS1, whatever. But then I watched Backstage this week. Now, out the gate, I was more excited to watch Backstage than Raw and SmackDown this week.
Uh-huh.
I watched all
Not
of Backstage
than anything on Wednesday night, but
in one sitting. But like, I never watch a Raw or SmackDown without muting the TV right. or tuning it out. But I watched the whole show. It was great.
Now
that's kind of a big deal.
But yeah. it's also what you've been saying you've wanted for like a long time.
Yes.
Is like a news show that covers.
Yeah, but that's, it's not, it is in theory, but yeah. it's not but really.
You want like a 60 minutes.
He wants an MSNBC 24 yeah, hour
right,
feed.
Right.
Scroll. I'm looking for Donnie Scroll.
Right. That'll
be me. I want a ticker. I want someone to be like, yo, this just in.
You know, like Jake Tapper talking yeah. to like Brock Lesnar. He's like, well, what do you think gives you the right to barge into the, you know.
Yeah.
Wolf
yeah.
Blitzer out yeah, here yeah. trying to okay. talk to.
Chris like, Matthews.
For example. Yeah.
Oh, what are you, the feed? You think you just sneak up on people?
You get the feed?
You get the feed, huh? Okay. We'll be right back at these messages.
Okay, so we can just do anything now?
Yeah.
No, but I want like...
Oh, the dead man. Okay. How you shoot lightning out of your hands?
I want... The timing was bad on that, but look. Okay, folks. Here's the deal. I want, like, all right, Rick, here's a perfect example. Yeah. Ricochet put out a tweet that was like, yo, thinking of going to Trunks for yeah. pants.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Good move.
I want that to be like, yo, guys, breaking news. In.
Ricochet breaking wants news. To know.
Breaking news. Yeah. I want someone in the studio to take her. It's like, I want someone to walk in and just be like, yo, stop talking about like Dusty from like 83. I mean, yeah, like, yeah, wait, yeah. but this just in. Ricochet is thinking about showing the legs. All right. Do we have a shot? What's his history of showing legs? Here's yeah. him at PWG.
Yeah. We go now to our panel of experts.
Coming in live on via satellite.
Yeah.
It's Chris Matthews. I think it's a bad idea.
He showed legs. I mean, what was the last thing? You can't show legs anymore. I don't know, I have nothing. But what I guess what I'm saying is that like it's not backstage is not SportsCenter.
Right.
No. So let's compare it to SportsCenter, which is legitimately a sports roundup show. It's like here's everything. I do want a show that's like here's all the matches that happened today.
Right.
Here's what's coming up this week.
Right.
Here's some analysis of the booking. Kayfabe version, like being like in kayfabe, what do you think this go this way? And then also talking about like you know, the history of this. Would that be cool to go this way? Possible. Maybe a fantasy booking element
right,
of it, which
right, right.
people hate fantasy booking, and I don't. That became a popular thing. Like, oh, don't fantasy book. I'm like, oh, that's not
why
what
not,
I do. It's
not?
All I do. no, but right?
You want the 24-hour feed.
Right. Backstage is more of... It's more of... like a comedy show.
Like it's like a talk show.
It's a talk show. It's like, yeah. It's more of The View or
yeah,
something,
exactly
right?
Exactly what I was going to say.
It's
yeah.
more of that. They like literally have like promo segment,
uh-huh.
celebrity guests come in and talk.
They yeah. talk about the events of the week.
It's like a
and
show that would,
up.
Yeah, it's like a show that would be exclusive to like an airline.
Right.
Like
yeah.
on Southwest, we have this, you know.
Yeah. So yeah. that, look. And by the way, I love the way I like the way it's shot. Like Renee walks from
the
backstage, literally.
She's
Renee
the best.
Is great. They're not gonna have her that long, I don't think.
Oh, she's
I feel like
so
she's
good.
Gonna, yeah. But anyway, that doesn't matter.
At everything.
So Renee, she's great. But Punk comes in. So they're all being cool. They are breaking kayfabe a little bit. Like Booker T will say, like, yo, I did the job to this guy. Like they'll say stuff like
yeah.
that, right? But Punk is coming in.
Yeah.
And literally, you could tell. He goes, I work for Fox.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably, gun to the head is kayfabe.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Right?
Gun to the head.
Right, because we'll get to the next point, which is, are we seeing Seth Punk at Mania? Is that what they're setting up for, right?
Mm.
And I honestly, right now, will say, I think yes.
Yeah.
I think
it's
yes.
early enough that... If this is just the seed, that it's the right amount of time to grow it before April.
And that's
right.
my point, is that actually going on backstage is a brilliant way to bring back Punk. It's a really unique way to expand the WWE universe and how
mm-hmm.
it's done. Where, like, you could go on their talk show and be like, I don't know, I work here, but
yeah.
then that works into an angle.
Yeah.
The precedent there is what I love about wrestling. And the fact that I was kind of blinded by that might even be, like, a kind of an option...
Yeah.
is another testament to what is good about it. Now, I'm sure they will botch it, but Punk's on there. He's literally talking open shit about WWE
yeah.
like we would do here or
yeah.
like, you know, even further, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it was It was awesome. You know, so one thing he did that was great is that they were like, oh, what did you think of King Corbin coming out? I mean, he's like, that's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
He's like, you think that's good? It's horrible creative. Like, it's awful. They had to move on.
Yeah.
Because he literally was just being like, tell me, he literally says, he goes, tell me honestly you like that.
Yeah. Is that good, though?
If I love it. Is it good for anything? I don't know if it's good.
It's sort of like, isn't it? I mean, if it shuts down conversations, if it shuts down... you know.
But I think it's like that's just him being who he is. Right. You know what I mean? It's more of a way for him to just like.
It fucks up the show.
CM Punk,
but
is
that's
not
what Punk would do.
One of my guys.
Well, I mean, CM Punk, by the way, one of my guys.
Really? Deeply,
one of my guys.
I wasn't present. I was.
If you were around, he'd be your guy.
I know he. Well, I know that he would. I watched his like documentary and. De facto one of my guys.
Yeah.
Based on a few things.
Important. He's so important to pro wrestling.
He's like something up on later.
You can't understate it. Like you think about what wrestling is now, it wouldn't be it without him. Mm. It took a guy who was able to blend indie wrestling with Mike.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, someone's got to be able to come in and play it the way it's supposed to be played, but also show people that there's another way to play it.
Right.
You know, whatever. Right. The Punk debate can happen forever. That's why I think Punk is in the 90s, the Summit.
Fair.
I think he's, but that's debatable, you know? But he does fuck up the show. You're right. There's an improv element there where he says to Paige, he goes, Paige, you didn't like that. Come on, say you didn't like that. And she's under contract with WWE. She doesn't have the freedom he has.
Right.
And then flexing it in her face makes it she can't say anything. But that being said, they also didn't need to all shut down.
Right.
Like, I think they're all figuring it out. But I also think they could say, no, I like it, and here's what I like about it. And I think you're being too tough or this. Or you can be like, look, it's not my style, but I think you're being too... Like, something to agree.
Right.
As opposed to being like, this guy's like a pariah.
Yeah.
I gotta, like, I'm a...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, great. Yeah, great point.
Yeah. So I think that I think they will figure that out, but... Everything he was doing was he calls himself the voice of the voiceless, right? Mm-hmm. And they play that clip a bunch. But he fucking is. Like, he is like us who feel like we have no representation in that company.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And all of our guys, wrestlers we like, who are shafted, don't say shit. They go out there and eat these pins every week.
Right,
they'll go out there and dance for the paycheck, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're like, yo, like, you know, you're like, God, like... You know, like a Shinsuke or whatever. He was, you know, by the way, not one of my guys. Not one of my guys. But I'm saying people love Shinsuke. You know, the New Japan hardcore fan loves Shinsuke. Mm-hmm. And now he's over here and he's doing, he had like a racist storyline or whatever.
Right.
Like, it was weird. You know what I mean? So it's like, you're like, oh, I respect you so much. Just walk out, man.
Yeah.
Stand up for yourself the way I would. Punk did that.
He literally did that.
Right. He literally, like, changed the whole creative and story. So him coming on the show and injecting that into the WWE product is a major win for WWE. The story is that when Vince, after the pipe bomb, CM Punk came backstage after saying, talking about Vince dying and being like, this company won't be good until he's dead. And Vince said, I smell money. So Vince knows what he has with this guy.
Yeah.
And they're willing to do business with each other, clearly.
Clearly.
So it's fucking awesome. But Punk also cut a promo in on WWE backstage.
Yeah.
And even this glimpse of this kayfabe promo, whatever you call it, like this little bit of doing promo, I was like, oh man, like you don't hear anything like this. He had a real slick knock on Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
I've always been a Punk fan. Anyway, yeah, I just think it was cool. Like, I'm going to watch backstage. I don't know where I'm going to find the fucking time.
Yeah.
Backstage is fun. I mean, it's like the train keeps moving. It's like interesting. And it's not just like, here's exactly what happened this week. Like, I liked their segments. Tremendous.
Yeah. CM Punk being on that show as a means to come back and do matches, which I don't believe he's going to ever be like a full-time wrestler again.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But as like a long con for him to like have a set up a feud and get on the mic.
How much money do you think Fox is paying him?
Fox.
Well, that's how he started
his employer.
It. Renee walked by him and he was like, he was backstage, but she does the walkthrough and he's like, he's on his phone. And he's like, all right, the check just cleared. I'll do this show. He's like, all the zeros like that. What do you think he got paid? A lot of money.
I mean, that show is, there's like, I think they just broke 100,000 viewers.
Yeah.
When he like joined.
Oh, okay.
There's not a lot of people watching.
No.
Yeah.
Like there's more people in my hometown than were like watching.
But I mean, like Fox Sports can probably, if that who is, that's who is writing the check can probably pay him quite a bit for appearing.
I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know what.
No,
I don't know. Like, yeah. I can't even conjecture. Like,
he and Renee had a million.
Not a million. 500,000? I don't know.
Wait, how much they gave him?
Yeah. Someone should ask David Arquette how much he got paid for that appearance. And times it by like 15.
He probably got paid almost nothing. He probably got like $600, like day rate or whatever. Like he just came in to be. You could tell he's just happy to be involved anything wrestling.
Yeah, totally.
He'll do it for free.
He's so fun. Yeah. I love that.
Arquette had a great promo at Bar Wrestling where he was like, "People are like, why are you wrestling? Is it because you're out of money?" And then he was like, "I'm not out of money. I got that friends money. You know what I mean?
Friends money, bitch.
I got friends money, bitch. I'm wrestling because I'm fucking crazy."
Yeah, he's the best.
I want to take one of his Bob Ross painting classes. He does them in L.A. He's a certified Bob Ross technique teacher.
People who are raised in L.A. like they're on another planet. Yeah. I'm almost jealous of it. Yeah. You know, I'm also so happy I'm not it. Like I don't know where the line is, but and the L.A. kid and the showbiz kid is such a rare breed.
Yeah.
Like and they all gravitate towards wrestling.
Yeah.
I see Colk in there. Like they're
so true. Even a friend of the show, Skylar Astin.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's a New York guy, but he was in the biz early.
Yeah,
he was in the biz. He was in the biz early. So anyway, I think CM Punk did great work. Like when they're first interviewing him, he made that point about like the women's revolution, right? Which is a late point, and I think also what's something cool about Punk is he's not watching wrestling. It's very clear.
Yeah,
he made it very clear a few times.
And so it's like he really is like what we love about the guy is that he's such a fucking pariah. Like he really is such a cancer to what Vince wants. It's fucking fun. It's like he is our guy in there who's like, eh, this thing sucks.
Just to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
They
play devil's avocado right now.
Yeah, play devil's the devil's avocado.
Avocado.
Yeah.
Who
was in that? Devil's avocado?
It was Al Porcini.
Yeah, Al Porcini was in that.
And
Patrick Swayze.
And Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the Super Troll does? Doesn't watch the product and bitches about it.
Yeah, but the thing about CM Punk is that he's the number one. He's one of he was the longest reigning WWE champion.
Yeah, I guess that is a difference.
Like he's a guy who like he came up the indie scene. He's doing 1 hour matches against like Chris Hero in high school gymnasiums. Like he dedicated so much of his life to mastering pro wrestling. He even says it in the thing. He's like, I mastered pro wrestling. He's like, people are not gonna like that, but he's like, I mastered it. So I'm done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just love it. I love arrogance in pro wrestling.
I was just playing devil's avocado.
Devil's avocado. He was like very likable on the show, I thought. I thought he was making points that were, you know, contrary to like WWE, but I thought he was like pretty likable, and he and Renee had good chemistry. Like they had kind of a good like buddy feeling relationship, which I thought was nice. And so, you know, when he said that stuff, it wasn't like abrasive or anything. Like when you heard him say it.
Right. So another thing he did is he talked a lot of shit about Seth Rollins. Okay.
They have a history. Kayfabe, right?
They have kayfabe history. Absolutely. There was a WWE champ and NXT champ. Yep. There's a shot of them facing off, which
was
very fun.
I saw that.
Very fun. And one thing I just want to say about wrestling is that like the time flies. You know what I mean? And like even that's one thing I try to like tell people as a long wrestling fan is the time flies, and it's like, you know, I always refer to Watchmen. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I'm talking about original Watchmen, not the new one, which I do like a lot.
You're talking about the movie?
Yeah, I'm talking about the book, but oh, also
the, going the original. But
there, it's like there's a scene there where Silk Spectre, the first, I think he's technically the second Silk Spectre, but. Lori's mom, I believe. Anyway, she makes this point where, like, she's crying about the death of someone who assaulted her. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, and then she makes this point. This is why I love Watchmen. There's so many points like this, like so many like existential moments or whatever. And I sound like a moron right now, but mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. where you're like, oh, that's not the perspective I had on that, right. You know? And the point was, she's just like, oh, you know, like, as time goes by, like, you learn to, like, appreciate your whole story, even the grimy parts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like that, and you're like, that's how I feel about wrestling? I mean, it's right. like, there's so many times where I'm like, oh, this sucked. Example, Edge, John Cena feud, okay? That I came back to wrestling, I was watching it, and I was like, I'm not into this. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, Edge is so like, at the time, I was very into muscles and still am.
At the time.
I was like, Cena was kind of new and shiny object or whatever. Uh-huh. And it was like, oh, like, how does Edge even beat him up? You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I did come around there later, and then Edge became one of my guys. Like, I didn't enjoy it at the time, but now when I look back at it, it's so much, and I think so much of wrestling is better than you give it credit for in the moment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
it's kind
right,
of a weird, it's kind of weird like that because it's so much.
Right.
There's so much of it. So when you're lulling out, it might not necessarily be as bad as you think. For example, it's like Festival of Friendship, right? That feels like not that long ago, but I bet if we looked, it's like 4 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Let's look it up. Let's keep going.
Yeah,
I'll look at,
we're going to this.
So I'm just kind of saying, like, take it, enjoy it. Try to enjoy it all, even while right. they're criticizing it. Because, like, when I looked at that Punk Rollins picture, I was like, oh, my God. Punk's been gone for 6 years?
Yeah.
And I remember towards the end of Punk's run, I was, like, not feeling him or whatever. And you're uh-huh. like, oh.
Your feelings had changed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now I'm like, I miss him every day. Okay. So one thing
that... stop, like, calling, texting him.
It'll be 3 years ago in February.
Right. Oh. It's like, that felt like a second ago we were in here being like, the Festival of Friendship was cool.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so he... It felt to me genuinely like Punk was like literally just telling like Rollins, like, listen, bro, you're a cool dude and everything, but like stop tweeting.
Right.
You're like killing your...
He said that literally. Yeah.
But man, oh man, just Punk saying that was like, I feel like the nail in the coffin for Rollins with the super marks. Like, you know, with the smarks. Mm. Like, I'm just like, you're fucking... Now, you got called out by like the guy.
The guy they've been chanting for
yeah.
6 years.
Yeah.
Like, and like he's being banned already. Like Seth Rollins is not cool, and Seth has like dug himself this grave. And then I just feel like the final touches were put up.
That's because
Seth Rollins is in trouble.
The artifice of cool that
yeah.
Seth Rollins adorned himself with mm. has become so heavy that it's now sinking him to the bottom of Jabroni Lake.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, forever one of my guys, but the cool factor is always up
it's
for
a put
debate.
On. It's a put on. Like I said this before. Like I know Seth Rollins. Like I know guys
know?
Like this. No, I know guys like this. His persona has become ponderous and he mm-hmm. is sinking because of its weight.
And CM Punk did him no favors.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
CM Brother. Punk tied a fucking anchor around his neck.
Tied a fucking cinder block to his ankle.
Mm-hmm. See ya.
Sunk him to the bottom Fourth of the Schuylkill.
it's interesting. I just felt like, I really felt like if Punk is setting up a feud between the two of them, whatever, it's so subtle. It feels like it could go truly either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he is willing to work us in that way. So we will see where that goes. You know,
I mean, even though they're neither one of them are my guys,
right?
I would mark out if that match were to come
for sure.
About for sure.
They'll probably be wrestling each other in like
yeah.
2 months.
Yeah.
okay.
Too soon.
So, moving on.
Wait, what?
Oh yeah, we have a real belt. Okay. Yeah. So I want to talk about AEW and NXT, and I specifically want to talk about this War Games and Survivor Series weekend, okay? Major weekend for pro wrestling. I know when I watch it, I'm going to be extremely excited. So I have this thing going on Wednesday nights where I'm watching both shows at the same time, right? And I don't see that stopping anytime soon, mainly because I want to be part of the group. And I'm like, I did 1 week where I just watched AEW and then I was going to watch NXT, but then I'm getting texts about NXT.
Yeah. And you want to be able to come on the show and have perspective on both. And it's like, you have to. You got to rig it.
So am I the only one feeling like that the War Game Survivor Series, like, logic and blending is so convoluted that I'm zoning out? Is that like, I seem to be, based
you're
on the
alone
page,
on that.
I'm the only one.
Yeah, you're alone on that.
Like, I'm like, oh, this guy's running out. And I think there's a real overuse of invasion.
It doesn't. No, you're insane. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Why?
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter why they're coming out. They're coming out to fight. No, it doesn't. It's because it's cool. It's cool to see Matt Riddle fucking exploder suplex AJ Styles. It's cool.
Loved it.
And that's it.
It's
cool enough that it doesn't need to make perfect sense.
Well, it's kind of like, I'm not even saying it makes sense. I'm saying, like, when I'm watching the double rig, right?
Right.
So I got two screens going, right? If I see this screen, like, it's just chaos. Then my brain just goes like, all right, well, then I'll just watch Jericho on the mic. I'll put the sound up over here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I'm like, that's just kind of chaos. Right. And I feel like there's so much chaos in the WWE product right now that I'm kind of like, and then also with the, not to mention not just the chaos, War Games and NXT. Okay. I know why they're the same weekend or whatever. And I know we have this. I just feel like they've bit themselves kind of in the ass here with this. This thing of, like, Vince runs this company, Triple H runs that, and they have these two things because the why does anyone care about their War Games team? Like, they're into their War Games team, but they're also invading, right? Like, first off, want to go back to Watchmen, which I always do, when the giant squid, right, when there's an explosion in Manhattan, that unifies everybody, right? So if you have, like, if we're all, and we can get into the allegiance element of it, if I'm, like, a Raw, SmackDown, I have this allegiance to this brand, right, which we'll just buy it. If NXT invades and they're all like, we're NXT, then they're also fighting each other in a war. They're going to try to destroy each other the night before. They're going to beat each other up.
And then unify for the Survivor Series.
Like, if Shayna Baszler's your champ and she's going up against Becky and Bayley, who think they're allowed to just come into your show and beat up your wrestlers or whatever, would you go into War Games and beat her up? Because you're like,
what?
Am I wrong? Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
You're saying why would...
I'm happy to be wrong here.
I'm happy to tell you that you're wrong.
I'm happy to be wrong.
I think the point, wrong or not, that you're trying to make is Shayna is going to... They have this thing... What flavor is
that's
that?
That's a lot.
Oh, okay. Jeez.
What flavor is that?
That's a really funny delivery.
We haven't had any fun with asking what flavor.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that's really funny.
What flavor is that?
Yeah, we should have a little more fun. What flavor is that? I smell it across the room. I must have it.
You there, what flavor is that?
Excuse me, sir. I'm driving in my car.
Turn into a Muppet.
Excuse me, sir. What kind of LaCroix are you drinking?
Oh, man.
What were you saying?
So the point I think, Dan, you're trying to make is that why are you going to have War Games and then unify and then go into Survivor Series as a team?
Yeah, is it the kind of thing where it's like Thanksgiving, you're fighting with your family fighting with my family.
It's a five movie.
Check it out, movie dissection episode next month.
I see what you're saying. Like, why would they fight each other at NXT War Games and then on Survivor Series be on the same
team?
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Okay. But I guess you're kind of like, well, I hate you. I want to feed you to the wolves over there.
Yeah, I got the answer.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Well, that seems to be the answer from people, and it's not a great enough answer for me. Like, people respond. I'm writing stuff like that on the page because I'm actually genuinely curious. Like, am I overthinking pro wrestling? And yes. Obviously, I dissect it to an arguably unhealthy degree. Yeah. But I am saying that, like, I get a response sometimes. People are just being like, "Well, like, just winning and being the best. That's all that matters. It's always just about winning." And you're like, "Well, that does apply because if I play like pickup basketball, I really want to win."
Right.
So you're like, imagine I'm in the major leagues of wrestling. You want to win every match because it's like a bigger paycheck. You know what I mean?
But I guess there's like, you could, I mean, as athletes, right, you can compete like with each other, right, on your own brand, but then that's Undisputed Era versus like Team Ciampa,
right,
for like within NXT.
Right.
But
NXT
then on Survivor
cred.
Series, it's NXT,
right,
the brand.
Yeah.
Fighting against Raw. Right. It transcends the individual wrestler at that point.
Right. Well, here's like something cool about AEW that I think, tell me, like Jericho, right? He's the champion. It feels like all of his friends are his friends because he's the champion.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It feels like that title, like, is like, everyone's like, we got to be around this guy. He's cool. And like, he's got a lot to lose by losing it. And it, like, he has like all this power over people because he's the champion. And it feels like, you know what I mean? Like, he has that kind of stakes there,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like he's the center of the universe. He gets to come out, cut promos all the time. Like, it's like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always like, I'm always looking for the line there of like, how does this thing totally make sense? So the War Games match having no stakes to begin with, but it's so team oriented, mm-hmm, you know, like it's so work together. I don't know. It's just not. It's not one of my guys. The War Games match. I like watching it because it's great spots.
That it is the least coherent like War Games match,
right?
Mm-hmm. That it ever. Because at least last year, the year before that, the teams in it were tied into a story.
Right.
In NXT. But this is, I guess, maybe the first one with Survivor Series.
Right.
So that's the spoiler about it, is that now Survivor Series is making it not make sense.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's like, so now we're going in there. And then also Survivor Series makes no sense because it's like, we're just having Lesnar versus Mysterio, and Fiend, Daniel Bryan. It's like those titles are not. I thought that was one of the cool things about Survivor Series, is that like there was like other opportunities there, but I understand why they're also not doing it, because the brands are so not like locked in. They just started SmackDown. There's no allegiance there. But then on the other hand, they want me to believe that Dolph Ziggler would put on a blue SmackDown shirt to fight and show up at Full Sail, you know, mm-hmm, or whatever, because like he's so happy with SmackDown and his position
brand
of
brand supremacy.
Of brand, yeah, and bragging rights, which literally Renee said the term the whole bragging rights thing. I just look at it like this. Like The Raw and SmackDown guys look like idiots. Like, they show up wearing red shirts and blue shirts, and you're like, why do they have any allegiance?
Yeah.
You look at Kairi Sane and Io Shirai. They were, like, fighting in the ring. And you're like, a year ago, Kairi Sane was what Io Shirai was. Right? Right. Like, where she was, like, the hottest thing going. Now, Kairi Sane is in there wearing a Raw hat.
I didn't even recognize her when she came out, and they said it was her. I said out loud, "That's Kairi Sane."
I thought it was Brie Bella.
Yeah, I did also.
Yeah.
They did a shot of her like waist or whatever, and they quickly showed the hat, and it just felt like what the Bellas wear.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but also too, like, I think you are overthinking it a little bit.
Just accept it, man.
Yeah, like it's like. Today on NXT, man, like the fucking that opening skirmish. By the way, my move of the week on NXT, Ricochet does a fucking tope, does a suicide dive.
Oh God!
A somersault
to Conor Reeves.
What the fuck was that?
To the finest.
Whoever was against
Conor Reeves.
No, he like drop kicked him, but then he did his move against who came out to fight him. Who came out to
Anosh, what are you doing? Did you just cone Mari something?
I was like, what was that? I thought I heard a cone Mari in the distance.
If we have this, we might as well use it.
Yeah, we might as well use it.
So, time to condo.
We're entering the cone, the kayfabe cone Mari segment of the show.
I think this evening, Dan, go to Newman.
I think we'll turn it over to Newman.
I'm going to turn it over to Newman.
All right.
So Newman, I'm going to give you a wrestler.
Okay, close your eyes. Okay. Dan, give him a wrestler.
Okay, so remember, I'm going to name a wrestler, and you tell me, does this wrestler... First off, you thank the wrestler for
the...
Well, no, that's after.
You have to ask yourself a very important question first.
Okay.
Does this wrestler spark joy?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you... And walk us through your process out loud. Yeah. Like, have you enjoyed their time, you know? Okay. Ready?
All right.
I'm going to... Hold on. This wrestler is... Okay, here it is. It's the member of Heavy Machinery who's not Otis. the member of Heavy Machinery
Tucker
who's
Knight.
Not Otis.
Okay, Tucker Knight.
Yeah, okay. Eyes are closed. Hold the guy from Heavy Machinery who's
Tucker
not
Knight.
Otis.
Yeah.
Yes, that guy in your hands.
Okay, I have Tucker Knight in my hands.
And ask yourself, does he spark joy?
All right. You know, I mean, spark, right? Spark is a funny word because it's like, is it instant? Is there an instant like thing that happens?
Yeah.
And frankly, no, like there isn't. The reason being is that he's the guy who isn't Otis, you know?
Yeah.
He's kind of like Big Cass, but not. He's kind of like the Big Show, but not. And he's not Otis. So thank you, Tucker Knight.
Well, he doesn't spark joy.
He doesn't seem so. I mean, you can't say anything specific about the guy.
Yeah, right? That's what I mean. It's like, I try to picture him, and I just see kind of like a character in a video game when he, like, you didn't unlock him yet, and he's like just like a black. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, can you just for clarity, because I don't want to throw anyone who doesn't deserve to go in the trash. But, don't call him Tucker Knight because we can't confirm that's his name. So we
guess
that's completely unconfirmed.
And it's not as clear as
So I think you got to say the member of Heavy Machinery who's not Otis.
I mean, his name's Tucker Knight.
So he goes in.
I can't confirm that.
He goes in the discard pile. So you.
I thank you, Tucker Knight. Mm-hmm. And goodbye. There he is.
Okay.
He went into the trash.
He went
Another one bites the dust.
Another one bites. Aaron, do you want to do one?
Yeah, I'll do one.
All right, we'll save it. We'll do another one.
We've got a lot to get in about? On the show.
What were we just talking about? Oh, no. Everyone's having a blast with it. I'm in the minority. I'm here to give my honest opinion, which is that I am now torn between two shows. I'm now Wednesday Night Rigging. I'm not in the zone. I have an actual viable alternative, right? Mm. So when something... Look, obviously, you've seen Matt Riddle fucking German suplex the shit out of AJ Styles. It makes me pop one, obviously, okay? I love
pop
that.
One.
Pop a rough one.
Just pop one. Pop a roach. Yep. Okay? Obviously, AJ is one of my guys. Yeah. Everyone knows that AJ is not only one of my guys, he might be my guy, you
I'm
know?
Saying, but all I'm saying
fucking
is
AJ
this.
Styles. By the way, AJ Styles is still the number one best wrestler. Still. All these guys, all these NXT guys, no one can wrestle I mean, you can maybe argue Kenny, whatever, but like he just blends it all so fucking well. Go.
Look, I'll say
this.
I was
watching some clips of AJ.
What are you wearing tonight, Dan?
AJ Styles. mineral wash Tish.
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 I think, though, that as fun as this is, I don't know that I would say it is necessarily a good thing. Here's why. What happens after Survivor Series when all this exciting cross-brand everything isn't happening anymore?
Right.
Right.
Lull time, daddy.
Well, yeah.
One way to go.
Because right now they're really, really milking the invasion. But here's my big
Unless the
problem
Rumble
with the whole
has
thing.
Like a big.
Right. My big problem with the whole thing is a lot of these wrestlers are doing great work. The invasion stuff's great. Like, it's fun. I fucking love it. Oh, yeah, it's that guy. I would say it's happened like a lot.
That is really what it is. I derive so much joy out of being. It's like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
Holy
there's so
shit,
much
it's
invasion.
Trump.
Yeah.
By the way, I love those. Let's talk about, I have to run memes by Aaron that I think
the meme
I think are really cool that
meme
she tell me if it's, I'm getting old I like the Bailey conspiracy ones where there's a W
on
the belt.
Oh, I like that. That one gave me pause.
It's like AEW. Yeah.
So that's why she always carries the belt, because she can't have AEW down.
I mean,
but
then I saw her wearing the belt.
No, she's wearing it.
They saw the meme. They saw the meme.
No, I like
damn it, I saw them. Put the belt around her waist.
Wow. Is that Vince?
Yeah.
Is Vince here?
I've been spending all my time looking at Facebook meme groups. I've been getting into shit posting.
Wow. Oh my God, Vince. So you're saying a lot
terrible.
Of your behaviors is influenced by like memes and shit posts and stuff?
Reddit.
Yeah,
I am a boomer.
I am a boomer.
Yeah.
My brain has been vaporized by memes.
Yeah.
Look at this one I just made. It's a picture of Trish Stratus's tits, and it says puppies.
How is?
I don't know.
There's nothing clever about that. That's not a meme. What do you think
a meme is?
Yeah. What do you think
a meme
is?
An image with impact font with the top and on the bottom.
But that's not even on the top. That's just on her tits.
I'm experimenting with the form.
Oh, interesting.
No, I love memes. I love shit posting. I'm on 4chan.
You know what 4chan is?
Yeah, of course I do.
Did you?
All right. I mean, Vince, so let me ask you something.
Yeah.
What's the name of the guy in Heavy Machinery who's not Otis? What's his name?
Oh.
That's what I thought. I would bet anything that if we had...
I'm trying to picture him.
Yeah.
And I keep picturing the guy from... SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah.
But also from the memes. There's a lot of memes about.
Yeah, you seen those?
Yeah. The starfish.
Yeah, Patrick? Yeah.
Is his name Patrick? Is it Otis and Patrick?
No.
Heavy Machinery?
Truthfully, he doesn't exist anymore because we threw him in the trash.
But, I don't know. I wish I could tell you, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
4chan, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all. Yeah. Well, you know, does that surprise you?
All right, Vince, thanks for stopping
all right,
by.
Goodbye.
Great to see you.
So, like, we'll talk about the Survivor Series thing. So, like, I feel like I've made this point a lot of times, but I just can't believe that they did like it was 4 weeks in a row of the same creative, really. Yeah. Like, it was Triple H rolls up with like four Escalades or whatever, and then he's like, "Hey, you just wait a minute." Like, how many times that happened? Like six times, right? Like, even like, and they're like, "Who is it?" And it's like, "Oh, it's Triple H." And they literally this week were like, "We've seen this before." It's like, now that's cool because it's a trope, but if you're invading, Raw and SmackDown have taken no preparations. Like, there's no precautions for the fact that NXT might be showing up. There's no like even as simple as this, like a locker room meeting for the Raw guys being like, "Look, we sold a lot of tickets tonight. We got to put on this great show. And if they show up, here's the protocol. What you do?" And then you start breaking. Even that was a spitball idea. That was a rough idea I just threw out. Like, right, first draft idea. And you're like, "Oh, that would make it infinitely more believable."
You think
better.
By like week three, someone would have been like, "Hey, actually, we have one more week till Survivor Series. Maybe we should put our guard up."
And Shane did do that last year, but that's another problem. Or like 2 years ago, but that is another problem. Is that like no one runs
Shane,
these shows?
Yeah, but Shane followed the proper channels. He arrived. He let them know that they were under siege.
Yeah, absolutely.
Under
siege.
Under siege.
That second voice.
That was the closest that I think I got to like caring about the true Survivor Series element of it. Like, that was like, all right, we have like Shane and Stephanie. Like, you're like, all right, they're trying to like have, like they have a sibling rivalry.
Yeah.
But they just, you know, can't milk that for so long.
You know what would make Survivor Series better? This is a free pitch, WWE.
Take it.
You're going to want to take
put
it.
Put it every year on Thanksgiving.
Sibling rivalry.
Oh.
On Thanksgiving. Have a special Thursday pay-per-view and place the families
under siege.
On Thanksgiving, yeah. Like, you take over Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
NXT like, take over Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
NXT take over.
Yeah.
You fucking Ciampa comes under the table.
It with like a fucking, the belt, the buckle shoes and
pilgrim's hat.
Yeah.
He basically wears that.
Yeah.
He basically wears a version of that already, like when he has the full duster on.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like,
fucking John Rolfe.
Yeah.
A Pocahontas reference for you, baby.
So, but I'm saying, like, that's it. It's like, if you're on Raw and SmackDown, what what is the kayfabe of like why, I guess you care because you're like, that's my show, it pays my bills. It's just like, do anything to make that matter because the NXT guys have it. That's what sucks is that like, I get why the NXT guys, they have Triple H, he's their leader. Right. He's like, hey, we're invading the main roster. These guys get all your resources. They get all the accolades. Like we're the new kids on the block and we're here to prove ourselves, you know? But like, honestly, I would go one of two ways with this to make it interesting. One way is that Raw and SmackDown are like they get together to like go against NXT, which would be like kind of more of the Nexus thing or whatever. But like, or is it USA versus Fox? Is it Raw and NXT are being like blending together against Fox, which is like where the big deal is? You know, I mean, you know what I mean? There's something. There might be something there.
I honestly think it's just red versus blue versus yellow.
Primary colors at war with one another.
Yeah. I guess that's what I'm saying is that that seems to be enough for everyone.
Because you don't watch wrestling high. I watch wrestling high.
Yeah, that
helps. I'm like, I'm into this.
Well, I'm not into some people were like, how did you not like Hobbs and Shaw or whatever? You know what I'm like?
Easy.
I'm like, I don't need. It's like action scenes. I've seen action scenes. They're pretty much, they're fun. I want to be invested in like stories and characters. You know what I mean? Right. It's like crazy because like,
is it like
this is so
bit,
fucking
like,
stupid. Yeah. But like, I always compare to Watchmen, which is like one of the greatest pieces of art ever made. Yeah. But I do think when wrestling is great, this is a point that Punk didn't make, like, when wrestling is great, you can't compete with it. That's what I love about it. The highs of wrestling are so high. Same as improv, right? Like when improv is great, you'll be like, that was the best thing I ever fucking saw in my life, and you'll try to chase it. Yeah. Like you'll be like, I gotta do a show like that again. I gotta see a show like that again. You know what I mean? So I just think sometimes wrestling shoots themselves in the foot by not taking themselves seriously enough. Right. And I'm like, you know, I want to see wrestling characters who like make me cry. Right. You know, like I think it exists. I think it can be done. I want to see angles where, like the Dominic Rey Mysterio thing was great, and I still care about the Brock Rey match because of that.
Right.
Like I'm like, oh, I'm following that through. The Kane thing, I thought that was all pretty nice actually. So I don't know. Tulo's telling me he's like the storytelling in NXT. He's like, he was like, yo, the storytelling is so good right now. And it might be I'm watching two shows at the same time.
Yes.
And AEW is, whatever they're doing is getting my eyes.
Here's what
when it comes to, because
Here's what I will agree that if you're watching two different television shows at once, the one that seems less chaotic is going to be the one that draws your attention.
Right.
Period.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I think if you watch just one or
I'm saying this is kind of my fault, but what do you do? I'm saying right now.
Well, you're in an untenable position because you have to broadcast.
What do I do?
I want answers.
I guess I know what the answer is.
Pick one.
Another episode of the pod every week.
Another episode of the pod, baby.
No, but I would say also the other element of this I'm pumped for Raw. The thing that Vince knows, I've said this a million times on the pod before, is that what lives on is the one good moment in wrestling and the packages.
Yeah.
So like if you go back and you watch a pay-per-view from like 10 years ago, you'll watch the package before the match and just be like, oh, this feud looked cool.
Yeah.
So you watch this invasion angle, you're just going to be like, oh, that was cool, and you'll forget about the nitty-gritty details of it, and then you'll think about the match.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just think I'm burned. This is the last thing I'll say. I feel burned still from the women's match leading into Mania. I just felt like that whole story was so botched.
You know
what I mean? It was so sloppy that like my trust was like severe.
They really hurt you.
Like Becky was so hot going in.
Yeah.
The Ronda Becky match was like written in stone because of that punch to the face.
Right.
It was hard to botch that.
Yeah.
Hard. And then they turned Becky like good. They had her drop the belt. Then she like, then they threw Charlotte into the match. We forget about this because what do we all think about? What we think about is last year, the women, they headlined at WrestleMania.
Becky Two Belts.
We almost forget, we think Becky Two Belts. We almost forget that the ending was shit. Uh-huh. That, like, it was botched, you know? We forget about Ronda Rousey, even. Yeah. She's a
all together.
Dog,
yeah.
Who's about to announce that she's never coming back, right?
Oh, is she?
Is she? I don't know. She's like, she's on Total Divas right now. Like,
I think she said she's retiring from wrestling, though.
Maybe she's about to be pregnant.
Which is a bummer. She was great. And by the way, you people who shit on her while she was here, killing it for one year of wrestling to have that, to be put on that level of shit.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And I was going to say, just to your point of like, you know, the actions, like action movies, you know, just it being an action movie isn't enough. Or like wrestling just being chaotic and cool isn't enough. Is it kind of like
sometimes
in like most of the time it is, but like but like in improv, right? Like I heard like Michael Delaney said, who was on our, he made an appearance on our DCM episode, that I had a class with him, and he said that like when you first start doing improv, like what's fun is sort of like the premise-y stuff, and like you start like figuring out how to do like premise based improv, but then as you do it, that what becomes exciting is like discovery and like discovering funny things to do, rather than like, you know, it's just like you become more refined in your watching, and it's like, yeah, I get it. I'm not just excited by the chaos.
Yeah.
Even though most of the time,
but also you do this every week. Like we do this, so I think it's I think what makes our show kind of interesting is that we kind of like deep dive into it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I still enjoy it. I think that if I just had the TV on the back and I was like cooking, and then like my, you know, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, AJ and Matt Riddle, I'd be that. Yeah. But I'm really, and I think that's who they play to, you know. But I'm really like, man, I wish I felt like, oh, this is War Games. It's a big event. But also, can't have good cards without bad cards. So it's kind of like this thing where not everything you're going to care about, and sometimes you end up caring about it, you know, because who knows what happens and how they book Shayna. Does Shayna get hurt in War Games? And it was like, this is a stupid idea to begin with, and then they plug someone in, and like, there's the booking they can do. It's kind of like infinite, and they're kind of doomed because they've so many. Yeah. Forget about the go-home show. Like, they got like 5 weeks of go-home shows row. So it's like so much to get to these events, you know?
The last thing I'll say about War Games is that I think...
War Games!
I think that what's cool about it is seeing like Adam Cole on Monday Night Raw, and like Shayna Baszler on like SmackDown, like having
these and a huge pop,
like two of my guys, like on TV.
Both of those wrestlers,
yeah,
not my guys.
That's fine.
Yeah. No, I mean, it doesn't mean I don't like him a lot. Just, you know, I just feel like it's my duty to just, you know, tell you who my guys are and whatnot.
No, I know, yeah.
Because I got a wrestler, which we mentioned already, that I cannot decide if he's one of my guys or not.
Who
I'm like,
the guy who from Heavy Machinery that isn't Otis?
Oh.
Yeah. No. No, it's Darby Allin.
Oh, Darby's one of my guys.
Not one of my guys.
I know. I don't think I think by proxy, because I was like, I don't think that kind of a personality and look can be one of my guys, but I absolutely adore what he's up to.
Don't pigeonhole yourself. I know. Anyone can be one of your guys.
I don't like that I'm like, I'm putting him in the fucking emo box and being like, he can't be one of my guys.
The makeup, the skateboard, hat on a hat, does he always come out in a body bag, or was that new?
That's the first time he did that.
Okay.
On AEW TV.
I like that. But the skateboard, I don't know what he is.
I just like the way he wrestles. And
he got into a car accident.
Okay.
And his story.
He got into a car accident when he was younger with his uncle. His uncle died. He survived.
I thought his parents died in a car crash.
Think it was his uncle.
Is this just his origin story, or is it?
It's true.
Okay.
I think
this is true.
I think it's true. And then he's scarred by that. Like, and he says he wears that to remind himself that he doesn't feel anything or whatever. Like, it's... By the way, I'm just saying, WWE would never think. What I'm saying is, WWE would never have that kind of a fucking backstory of a wrestler that's like real.
You don't learn anything about these guys. Family death as part of their gimmick.
No, they all. You know, I mean, I agree to disagree.
His own death.
So basically, his gimmick is that he's the guy from the first verse of the song by Crash Test Dummies.
Yeah. Once
there was this kid who got into an accident.
And his uncle died. He couldn't go to school.
And then he finally came back. His face
was painted with black and white.
Skeleton.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy from that song.
Excalibur, explain.
Did it always just be there? A-W.
I always hear the
Dumb and Dumber soundtrack.
There was this guy who left the shield.
I always hear the Weird Al version in my head when I sing that. It's a little like, because it goes, it's like a spoink, boink,
yeah.
Boink
sounds.
Shit, I interrupted your point there. I'm caffeinated up, but I forgot what it was. But if you remember what you were saying, you were talking about wrestlers. You were talking about Darby. You're talking about Shayna Baszler and Adam Cole are two of your guys.
Yeah. You get to see them on primetime TV.
That's the stuff I think is cool.
First episode was cool, but that first episode was so cool because of the shoot element of it.
Right.
What was so cool is that you knew the guys weren't landing. They're stuck in Saudi. So like you know what I'm saying? Like that's what made it so awesome. It was like, wow, this thing, we're hearing real news and it was real. And it's just like the fact that WWE doesn't capitalize on realness when they see it working. So like, what's real about Raw? We actually have shows on different networks and stuff, and we're actually like competing now with NXT. Like, you actually have it. It's all there. And then to not have like Cole go up against Fiend or something and like not do that, where you're like, oh, well, let's see, like, your best against my best, and then have no figurehead for Raw, no figurehead for SmackDown. Triple H just runs everything.
Right.
He literally gets close-ups from Gorilla on Raw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's sloppy. But I'm not saying like if you don't care that much, look, if you want to win an argument, just say it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, if you want to win, you know, you'll win because you're like, well, why do you even care? And then it's like, oh, all right, well, you'll suck the wind out of it. You know, it's similar to the Punk. There's always something you could say. The English language is very powerful, and contrarianism is a real thing. It's more driven by whatever, like, I'm saying.
Preacher choir over here.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, guys, what I'm saying is that you check out Breitbart.com.
Do not.
Don't do it.
Okay, but here, so let's move on for a second. Let's talk about AEW for a second. I do think another thing is that AEW really is like my dream wrestling show in a lot of ways. Now, I'm not saying it's going to last.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it's going to last.
But you also don't know for a fact that there's an expiration date on it.
Right.
Like, anything could happen.
Anything could happen.
It could get better.
But the thing about it is that what I love about the Young Bucks, they've like expanded into a whole show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not for everyone. So I recognize that. I like Triple H looking into the lens and being like, just like, oh, I'm going to kill you. It's war. when there's no like believable feud for me, that sometimes is when I zone out. But like Chris Jericho not being able to say the word sorry.
Yeah.
Like he can't, he's the champion. He actually can't do it. Mm-hmm. He has to have his muscle say sorry for him. The word, he can't say it. That's just fucking why I watch wrestling.
Yeah.
Like that is it's a mix, but that's what is so great about AEW for me is that the wrestling action is like, once they start in the ropes, they go at it. You know what I mean? Like, Cody's fucking bleeding all over the place. Yeah. So those two extremes, it works so well. I think a lot of it hinges on Jericho right now. He's doing a lot to center that show and give it its tone and its voice. A lot of that is coming from Jericho.
Yeah.
Did you like his suit tonight, the red one?
I like it every time.
I was just pointed out to me on Facebook. I posted a link to that suit on Facebook 4 weeks ago and said I liked it, and then he wore it on AEW tonight.
Are you
tonight.
What?
I'm not kidding.
Whoa, breaking news.
Yes.
That's crazy.
So I think we may have an wardrobe mole.
Well, we're triangulating. Like, we can triangulate. It's got to be the same mole. Who do we know?
That went from
the mole
WWE
man?
To AEW.
Yeah, the mole. Hans Molman.
I don't know.
Do you think somebody saw that and was like,
I posted that suit with a link to the suit, and I said, this one isn't on sale, but I like its energy.
In what context?
He wore it tonight.
When someone posted Jericho's jacket, he wore the first night.
The pink and black one.
That was like a Macy's link, right?
Yeah,
and
I went on Macy's website and looked at all the different suits.
Okay, so what we know is that he shops at Macy's.
Yeah, and I saw one that I liked. Exactly.
What we learned is that Jericho gets all of his jackets from Macy's. And that shirt also, that jacket he wore the first night was like $200, but it was on sale for like $25.
Yeah.
It was like way discounted. But that's, you know, it's good for wrestling.
Right.
You want something marked down. That's, you know, it's great for wrestling. By the way, another thing, this is a small thing, but like Miz's suit was moreing a lot on camera. Like it had those patterns where it was like fucking with my eyes. I actually had never seen that before. I know, like, whenever you shoot something, they like test your fabrics.
But yeah, it probably had very like
shiny
pattern. Well, that or like a pattern, like a lines, right. You know, like thick, that you couldn't see.
That probably drove Vince nuts. Yeah. So anyway, I'm just saying, it's like the comedy is happening from non-jobbers in AEW. In WWE, when they do comedy, it's from guys who are irrelevant. It's like a Santino Marella or whatever. You know what I mean? A guy who like no one takes really seriously. This is like the comedy's really coming from the top dogs.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty cool. But I don't know. I'm just into it right now.
What did you think about Kenny's little promo package? Where he was lifting weights.
I like it. When
he was
benching, that's another example.
And then it was small weights.
Yeah.
And then he does this with the...
I thought that was really funny because two things. One thing, I just trust Kenny Omega at this point. Mm-hmm. I have a trust for him, and that's the whole thing with AEWs. As a fan, I trust it. Mm-hmm. Like WWE, I'm always a little... They've burned to me before. Mm-hmm. So it's just, that's the main thing I like about AEW, is that I right now have an unbroken bond here. They right now are over-delivering, which is good. And also my expectations are a little lower too, which helps them, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But Kenny's clearly working something where he's going out of his mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he was literally like, goodbye and good bench. And he literally benched
out loud.
He benched like, I mean, probably
with
Kenny
the
Omega
bar.
Can bench, probably if I had to guess, he can bench like 280, probably like 250 easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he benched there like what, 48 pounds?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, the bar is what?
Like,
yeah.
And uneven.
Yeah.
And he was like, give me the two plates.
Goodbye and good bench.
Goodbye.
Very funny.
And good bench.
Very funny.
I loved it. Yeah. It was so funny.
It just felt a little, this isn't a criticism. I was just trying to figure out.
Like a little internet?
It felt a little internet, but it also was like, it doesn't make him seem threatening, right? It's almost like it's a TV show about wrestling.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is how it felt. You know what I mean? Like it was, like it gave it like
that segment or the whole show?
That segment. Because it was like, had this funny moment in it for no reason. Like if we're being like, oh, I'm a wrestler, I'm gonna fight this guy. Then why in that reality, why would he do that? It's just a joke. So if it's just a joke, what am I watching? I'm watching a television show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I
know what you're saying.
It's
a big, big swing.
Right.
Like, yeah, you're right.
But goodbye, good bench. Love it.
But I do
classic.
Think Kenny
on a shirt.
Good bench is one of my guys.
Put it on a shirt, folks. Yeah. It will be on a shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I bid you adieu, goodbye, and good bench. Might be a sound drop. It was really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Because he's like, but I do think Kenny is going for the kind of like, I'm going out
that
of my mind
sense.
Angle.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of has like a broken Kenny thing going on. So I think it's like, oh, I'm going back to All Out. And like, I have to go wrestle Pac because like, I have to avenge these losses. Like,
that's,
you know what I'm
cool.
saying? That's cool. That's another
and
thing.
And very video gamey.
I'm looking at the records.
Yeah.
These wrestlers are coming out records. And also Matt Jackson, he responded to someone's tweet, which is like, what happens when these records get actualized?
Oh,
we
yeah.
reset them.
Yeah.
Like their
yeah.
seasons. You'll have your all-time record, and then it'll be like, wow, but 2019, look at him. He's undefeated.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, fucking cool.
That's yeah,
cool.
That's great.
I like that it resets.
Yeah. He's like, a reset. It's like, I kind of know where these wrestlers are at. I'm like, oh, yeah, like Paige right now is like, he lost a couple matches, but then he won a big one. Like, you know, he's got a little momentum, and it works.
Yeah.
Again, for me, who I you see the kind of clarity I'm looking for in, like, the War Games or whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, this is all being said. I want to talk about Jericho being funny a little more. The sorry goof was very funny. Scorpio Sky actually made me laugh.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he was like, yo, since I won these titles, which by the way, I'm always looking for them to say what titles are doing for themselves.
Yeah.
He was, Scorpio Sky was like, yo, since I won these titles, like my high school sweetheart reached out to me, Melanie Parsons, and I'm going out with her next week. And then Jericho responds and is like, yo, I saw Melanie Parsons recently. She put on a lot of weight since high school. And then he was like, yo, I like big butts and I can't lie. That was the fucking response for these two guys. Like, all right, I'm just saying there's something funny. It's funny. Like, it's not, all right, I like the concept of bringing up my high school girl called
that
me up.
That is so poorly like written though.
No,
but
no,
Jericho saying like it. That is so
like,
funny.
But actually,
that is
the, like, I like Big Butts Can't Lie kind of tanked, and it was like Scorpio Sky kind of trying to respond to Jericho.
Yeah,
but Jericho coming back just being like, yo. But I just love that they'll say things that are not. Like, it's just funny. Right. I think it's funny.
Okay,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be. Made me laugh.
That's fine. It's fine if it made you laugh. I'm not disparaging the fact that it made you laugh. I just don't. It's like that's like if I heard two people say that, I would be like,
Yeah.
Melanie,
I know.
I'd feel like, oh, poor Melanie Parsons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Melanie?
It's just funny. Jericho pretend.
A better response would have been like, I bet she did put on weight. I bet she did. Never mind. I can't.
Well, there's a real like diss off element there.
Yeah, but
like,
it's also
the amount of times you see in wrestling, and it happens.
She was a child in high school. Of course, she put on weight. She got bigger. Like, what do you? How do you think this works?
Let's not make this political. Okay, but I'm saying. All right, it's swampy lines. They're swampy. It was locker room talk. No, but I'm saying, look, it's not perfect. Okay, I know. I agree with you. I wouldn't write it. Okay. Yeah. It's not about the actual lines.
I would just rather non-comedians not try to be funny.
Jericho is basically a comedian,
funny.
Though, right?
He's really funny.
And he's funny.
Yeah.
But, like, the vast majority of these people are not comedians and are not funny.
So, here's the deal. Like, I think, I agree. Like, Scorpio Sky's not funny. But I actually didn't expect him to say something like funny.
Sure.
And I like the choices. To be honest, they're kind of like little improv scenes, what they're doing over there.
Right.
Now, if you think about it in terms, there's a looseness there. Like, I'm not even sure that I think Jericho responded with that off the cuff and they're trying things. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I doubt they were like, I'll say this, you say that. It did not feel that way.
Yeah.
Okay, they claim to not have writers, so I bet Jericho's loose, you know? And we're seeing primo Jericho. But what I'm saying is, the amount of times in WWE, it's just like, I'm going to fight you. You're like, how about you fight me? Right. You know what I mean? Like, how about we go right now? And like, that's it. Literally, if Aleister Black was arguably the most interesting guy in WWE, to be honest, because like, the guys who get so much heat right now, just think about what the main roster does.
Yeah.
Fucking Ricochet shows up to Full Sail look with a Raw shirt looking like a geek. Shinsuke in the blue shirt. These are like amazing wrestlers who like they show up in the blue, whatever. Okay. And Kairi Sane, we talked about that. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying Aleister Black is, to my mind, he's one of my guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's like kind of his afterthought now. And it's like Adam Cole's the cool guy and Ciampa, they're the cool guys just because they're still in NXT. But I don't forget that Aleister Black was my preference over these guys.
Right.
Of NXT. Like, I loved Aleister Black. I loved the gimmick. There was more to it. But he's on the main roster just being like, I'm just looking for a fight. His gimmick is I'm looking for fights. He literally had a knock on his door.
I bet you he's the victim right now of the same type of shit that Moxley was the victim of when he was there, where it's just this like, no, this is what your character is. This is what you, and he's just not standing up for himself. If I were Aleister Black, I'd ask for my release. Frankly.
Right.
I would ask for my release. Like, it's so stupid. Like, the whole knock on my door.
Yeah, like, literally, he's in the back there. He got a knock on the door. He didn't answer it in time.
Yeah.
Buddy Murphy kind of rounded the corners. Like, I guess he's not opening the door. I guess I'll go wrestle someone else. And then he wrestled Tozawa. Yeah. And then Aleister Black popped out. It was like, what? Did someone knock?
I've been looking
for a fight. I've been waiting for this fight all week.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, well, it's like, it's shit.
Yeah.
Like, and so, it's... there's this thing where so much stuff happening in NXT is guys telling you, like, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Which goes a long way. Sure. And Punk did it like he's the best, I'm the best in the world, but it was more nuanced to it. Where there's, I think there's just a breath of fresh air of like Jericho, who's like, I'm like an insult comic, and all, you know what I mean? But also a wrestler. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not like a fan of insult comedy, but I like it in a wrestler because I haven't seen it.
Yeah. You know what? If I were Jericho, I would do like an Andy Kaufman, like Tony Clifton thing. Yeah. Where like I would be as Jericho. Like sometimes I would have another character that I was, but then sometimes it would be someone playing me playing that character.
Right. You gotta get a body double-ish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would explore that.
More portly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool. Hey. Jericho's face is loaded with Botox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does his like brows not come, like they stay still when he wrinkles his forehead? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I love it because he's such a rock star. It all works for him.
Get that Botox.
He's just the man. He's the man.
But if you look at him, I mean, speaking of the Festival of Friendship, when you look at him,
yeah,
not even 3 years ago,
yeah,
it's night and day.
The hair, the clothes, the body's different.
Yeah.
The tan.
Got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Do you guys pop for Mox?
I do.
You pop for Mox?
I pop for Mox.
You pop for Mox?
Pop a Mox and I'm sweating.
Yeah.
I noticed that, like,
I
look,
pop more for Darby Allin.
I have to, yeah. Darby Allin, I love Darby Allin. Darby Allin is so good at getting his ass kicked. It's great.
He's crazy. He's a daredevil.
But Moxley comes from the crowd, which I love every time.
I like he had the water bottle in his hand tonight. Yeah. I was like, get that water bottle.
I love his song, which we might add to the Cow playlist.
Coming soon to Cow Tunes.
It's kind of just like 80s rock and roll. I don't know what, like, it's like, know. It's like, like, I don't know how to describe it, but he comes out like, he's not one of my guys, definitely not, mm-hmm, but I'm just like, I like that I know what I'm getting with him. He's really done a great job of being like, here's Moxley and here's what he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's very rare for a wrestler to, like, have their voice.
He worked really hard to get that.
It's kind of my thing with Adam Cole, where, like, I like Adam Cole, but I don't know what his deal is yet.
Uh-huh.
You know? He's undisputed. Like, I don't have it fully locked in, but he's still great. Okay. But I was talking about Mox. Yeah, he gave the dirty deeds or whatever he's calling it.
From the top rope
to Darby Allin. That was fucking sick.
What do they call it now?
It's called the paradigm shift.
Yeah, paradigm shift.
That's very much a like WWE 2K19 like move like that you can pick.
It was cool because he came from that promo, like him, you know, and he really has like done a paradigm shift or whatever.
And the paradigm
is.
Shift is superior to the dirty deeds.
Yes.
In execution.
Well, John Moxley does a better dirty deeds than Dean Ambrose. That move was insane.
That was great.
Oh, scary.
And that's part of like Darby is like Darby is taking like beatdowns that are making other wrestlers look amazing.
Yeah.
And then he's also, I'm a fan, like, he's against my, like, obviously my classic
body type.
I'm a child of the Ultimate Warrior, like, of a generation, you know? Like, it was like, just...
He's your father.
True perfection.
Yeah.
So, you know, you see this guy and he's a little emo. I kind of, like, reminds me, that always rubs me the wrong way. It's like people with, like, an annoying attitude.
Right.
But I'm trying not to judge him because I'm like, he is a great support talent and he's got a lot of ability.
Yeah, I just think that the skateboarding, I don't understand.
And skateboarding's not my bag, baby. Yeah. I literally have a dog who goes crazy, barks, hates skateboards, and I think he gets it from me. Anyway, what do you think of the blue title?
Forgettable.
I feel the same way about it as I felt about the red title when I first saw it.
Right.
Underwhelmed.
Yeah.
Underwhelmed.
Oh my god, it's the underwhelmed.
I think I met that guy at an Olive Garden once.
Yeah. Underwhelming.
Oh yeah. So I mean the blue title, I read an article, they're still making his custom title. They're still working on it. And probably we're like, oh, while we work on it, let's establish the blue title. I get moving the blue title. I think personally the blue title looks worse than the red one.
I think your eyes just adjusted to the red one over the last few years. Right? Yeah,
well, because I didn't the red one. Like you got to remember, like your initial hit. Like when I saw the red one, the first time I saw it, I was like, no, you know, like
no one liked it.
And that also, I think, was Seth's first mistake, is when he started telling the audience that he was really disappointed in the Barclay Center that night for booing the championship.
Oh,
you're like, dude, we're allowed to do whatever the fuck we want, man. Like the crowd hadn't, and you can't get mad at the, you can't get mad at the, at like a genuine reaction.
Right.
Like if people see something and like boo it, like when people started booing the stomp finish, it wasn't like, oh, they're being bad fans. It actually was like impulsive. Right. You could feel sometimes when fans are just being idiots when they start a CM Punk chant just because it's silent.
Yeah.
That's fans being like assholes.
Right.
But when there's an actual reaction as fans who have been seasoned to and to be part of the show. Like you're called the universe, they're part of the show.
Yeah,
you can't mad at them for wanting to have their express themselves as part of the show.
Right.
You know, like the what chants are not people expressing themselves; they're trolling in chant form. But when people see something and don't like it and say, "I don't like that," that's not trolling. That's reacting to something you unveiled.
Right.
And then that Seth is being defensive. Something that's not a personal affront to him at all.
Because he's insecure.
He's got to choose his that's your theory on that, which sounds sound.
Yeah.
I feel like insecurity is the way it's like, if someone can be like, you know, I don't know, like, I'm just like, I bleed if I think too much. You're like, hey, you're insecure. It's like always like, it's just, that just, he's just insecure. He's just jealous.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, but it's
no,
like.
No, I'm not.
If I'm Seth Rollins, I'm in that kind of shape. Mm-hmm. I'm dating Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
Nothing matters. Nothing doesn't matter. No.
Doesn't matter.
So then you let that shit roll off your back. That's when you're insecure, when you don't let shit roll off your back.
Yeah.
Well, he's got those samurai tattoos on his back, so it's hard
in case
to
you forgot.
Down.
In case you forgot, yeah.
You know what's hilarious?
Yeah.
I saw a guy at the gym.
I tried to let it roll off my back, but got caught on my kanji tattoo.
Yeah. It's called in my tribal.
The last samurai.
Bro, I saw someone at my gym, like, their back, they, like, might have taken their shirt off or their whatever. Not important. Their back was, I saw.
Exposed.
Exposed. And I was, like, saw, the, like, that, like. That like try
the spine tattoo.
And my brain was like, it's Rollins. Like,
holy shit!
Like, for a second, I was like, but it wasn't him. You know, it was just someone else who did that to themselves.
Yeah, I'm sure there's millions of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So the last thing I want to say is we're getting Daniel Bryan versus the Fiend Bray Wyatt.
Oh yeah.
That is, I mean, look. Let's just say.
Two of my guys.
I mean, two of
guy
my...
Guy on guy.
Yeah, there's a little guy on guy action.
Guy on guy crime.
Well, I mean, a lot of wrestling is guy on guy action. But, but, like, the thing is...
Especially on AEW.
I love that they're connecting I feel like right now I watch Raw and SmackDown for
the Fiend.
Daniel Bryan and The Fiend.
Yeah,
like, same. That's why I watch, for those two guys. So I'm glad they're wrestling.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'm glad they're wrestling. That's it. I mean, what's that match going to look like? Daniel Bryan will eat that pin, definitely.
I'm excited to see like what. Yeah, like
yeah.
What
I'm excited
it looks
to see where
like.
That goes.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, I don't know. Daniel Bryan is newly one of my guys.
So, right, and so it's fine. Daniel Bryan newly one of your guys. Can Daniel Bryan like hurt the Fiend a lot? That's a cool thing they've done. Is the Fiend can get hurt. He takes a lot of damage. He's slow. Mm-hmm. He's kind of stupid in the ring, you know what I mean? They've kind of like he solidified him as like a Michael Myers, whatever. Right. Like you could beat the fucking Jamie Lee Curtis beats the shit out of him all the time, like just kicking him in the face. He's like, and
he's
literally goes like, but then he gets back up.
He always gets back up.
That would be such a funny version of Michael Myers, where as he's getting it, he's like, ow, fuck, ow. And
that
like,
hurts.
Dead. And then he's like, does the sit up. And
well,
just
you know,
keeps
there's
pursuing.
Always that awkward thing where like someone has to express something, but they're like express being hurt, but they're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
So you just kind of only see like, the body movement,
they stumble.
But you don't see the face, and it's always kind of like, oh, that looks dumb, but it's like, is what it would be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So, like, in a movie, it's like, oh, and you're like, the guy looks like an idiot, but you're like,
yeah, that's how it would be.
Yeah. So, Daniel Bryan can beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan should be established as, like, he's so skilled that, like, he, you know what I mean? That, like,
right.
His size, and I'm glad they don't talk about his size.
They should play. Because
at this point, he beat Daniel. At this point, he beat Triple H, Randy Orton, and Batista in one night.
Yeah.
And he came into the first match with a bandage on. Oh,
they should play it, though, like to bring Star Wars up again. They should play it like Luke and Vader, sort of like with a seduction angle of like let's have the Fiend kind of like try to bring him
back in
while fighting him, seducing him. You know,
yeah. Wouldn't you love if Daniel Bryan was recruited with the Fiend?
Yes.
Like, why didn't the Fiend the Fiend should, like, why doesn't he just start building
adding cast members to the funhouse,
and like then like Daniel Bryan comes out of you like. I love this shit. I mean, I love the House of Horrors. You know, like I love the projections at Mania. By the way, I've been to, this will be my sixth Mania TDIT. In a row this year. TDIT bought my WrestleMania tickets. And so I'm saying is that I'm open to like trying things.
Yeah.
Even the Mojo thing. I was like, I'll go with this. Like, let's see. He's painting his face. He wants to look in the mirror. But like when they do like a non-start for that shit, it's so dumb. It's like you have to like follow through. You have to explain it. Tell the story. Have the balls to tell the story. That's always the thing with Bray Wyatt is they've never been able to like tell a story. And now the Fiend, they're telling enough. Like I understand the Fiend. I never understood Bray Wyatt, but I get it. It's like all of his, he tried to rehabilitate in his time off and this is what happened.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you're like, he can't control it. But he's, you know, but the yes chant. When he was doing the yes chant,
that was wild.
And I love that
it went on for so long. Yeah. It was great.
I love when the title was like in that cooler and he's just like looking for stuff and it's like baby heads. And remember the test, the non-fan test, which is like when Jamie walks by the screen and is like, what's on? And like I think someone else was in the room while I was watching that. I don't think it was Jamie. I don't remember who it was, but I was like, I don't feel embarrassed by this. I think this is cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a feeling you can't describe where you're like,
you're secure in what you're watching on the TV.
Because it was dark. Yeah. Like, he's really fucking scary. Mm-hmm. It was my brother.
Which brother?
Neil. My little brother. Yeah. Anyway, so the blue title. I love that WWE had the blue title on sale right away. I just want to say
right away
you could buy it, which means that when he unveils the custom job, I could be able to get that right
Dan's
away.
Buying it right away.
That's gonna hit the wallet.
Yeah,
that's why you gotta hit a Patreon. Anyway, we're done
Patreon.
For the week here, and that's why you gotta
Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling,
guys. The one of my guys shirt is now going to be live. It's live. When you hear this, we'll be live on the Instagram, on the Facebook page, the design.
Podcast.
The shirt costs $30 shipped. We've confirmed.
Yes.
That's $30 shipped. You can get it. Reach out to Nick Tulo to buy it.
All the details will be online.
All the details on how to get it will be online. But if you're a patron at the $5 level up until December 1st, right?
Yes. You're at the $5 tier or more between Black Friday, November 19th, you have through
the
weekend.
So you can sign up now. You can sign
up now.
Now.
When you hear this, sign up, and then you'll be eligible to get the bundle, including the One of My Guys t-shirt, an 8.5 by 11
So, for $30 ship, you're getting 2 Cal limited edition shirts and a Lauren Moran exclusive print.
Yeah, while supplies last on the Cal Mania shirt, but, you know, get in. Where you fit in.
Limited run. And by the way, I will have a shirt for all you guys. Okay.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Already a patron.
Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Also, the 9 to 5 episodes, the last year's episode, the road to the 9 to 5 is paved with last year's 9 to 5. And that will be coming out on Monday as well in 2-hour increments. And Noah will talk about that. And that'll be coming out Christmas Day for patrons.
Nice.
So a lot of stuff we're giving back to you fans. Thanks for, listening to the show, and hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Comedians of Wrestling. I listen on Thursday when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. We'll be right back.